Well, hello and welcome to everyone that's tuned in to this broadcast from the Innerleithen Gospel Hall. You'll notice that we're not in the hall this time. This time I'm speaking to you from my study at home. But thank you for joining with us, and we trust that God will bless the time that we spend together looking into his word today. Now, before we open the scriptures and read them together, maybe we could just join together in a brief word of prayer. Our God, today we give thee thanks for this opportunity that we have as being able to look into thy word together, as hearing what it would say to us personally today. For our God, we thank thee that thou canst speak to us personally, though we don't know who's listening, whether today or at another time in the future. Yet our God, we do thank thee that thou knowest every single person on this planet. And we thank thee, Father, that every single person on the planet is loved by thee. And the message that we have is a message that everybody needs and that everybody would do well to listen to. And our Father, we just pray that as we would look into thy word, we pray that thy Spirit would take dealings with the hearts, particularly of those that don't know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. And we pray, Father, that they might find salvation and security and certainty in trusting him and in coming to a knowledge of the Son of God. And so we just commit our time to thee and look to thee for thy help. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'd like to read with you today from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, in the Old Testament, and chapter 55. Isaiah and chapter 55, and we'll read the first three verses of the chapter. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And we'll leave the reading there today, but I commend the chapter to you. It's a wonderful chapter. It's a chapter that speaks about seeking the Lord while he may be found. It's a chapter that speaks about the abundant pardon of God. It's a chapter that speaks about the Lord's thoughts and the Lord's ways being so much higher than our ways and our thoughts. And I want to say to you today that the things that God has in store for those that trust him are things that are beyond our imagining. And they're things that the God of heaven would have every single person on the planet to enjoy. The Bible says that God is long-suffering towards us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the verses that we read this afternoon, it starts off with a ho. That is an attention grabber. It's something that is called out. It's almost like a town crier in the days when we used to have town criers. Well, I suppose, really, it's like an advert that's flashing up on your screen. Maybe if you're watching on YouTube and you're not watching full screen, that there'll be adverts that come up at the sides, and quite often these adverts are tailored, aren't they, these days, to what we've been looking at and the kind of things that we're interested in. But I wonder whether this advert, this attention grabber, is not necessarily for something that we're interested in, but I want to suggest to you today that it's certainly for something that we need. Now, I don't know how you treat adverts that pop up on the screen. I don't tend to do anything with them. I don't tend to click through. They're all kinds of different things that come up. And I don't know if you're anything like me, with adverts, particularly for kind of free offers that come up, I tend to treat them with a lot of skepticism and think really that there's nothing that can they really be trusted? Is there anything in these offers at all? This offer that we've read today is really a mind-blowing offer. It's an offer that offers satisfaction to those that are thirsty, those that are hungry, those that are bankrupt. A free offer of salvation, of satisfaction, of security. Look at that here in verse 3, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. It's a secure future that lies ahead of those that take advantage of this offer. And there's a certainty to it. For the God of heaven says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Now, as we go, if we were to have read further on and we were to go down through the verses, we'd come to the conclusion that the David that is being spoken of is not the King of Israel who died long ago. But the David that is being spoken of is the one in the Old Testament who was promised the coming Messiah, the Christ, the Saviour of the world. And he's the one who would be a leader and a commander of the people in verse 4. You see, Isaiah consistently, through his book, has been speaking about one who is coming. And a few weeks ago, Craig looked in Isaiah chapter 53 and read about the sufferings of the Messiah. And it's the same person that's being spoken about here. It's the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And God is offering salvation and satisfaction and security and certainty today through faith in Jesus Christ. You say that's all very well, but you know, you've told me that you treat the free offers that come up, whether it be in the newspaper or whether it be on the internet, the offers that come in with a fair degree of skepticism. So why should I believe this one? Why should I believe this offer of satisfaction and security and safety and so on? Well, quite simply, I want to say to you that we can trust it implicitly and we can trust it wholeheartedly and we can trust it totally because it comes from the God of heaven. The God who made every single one of us. The God that every single one of us is answerable to. Whether we like to think about it or not. Do you know that the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment? I wonder if you've ever thought about an after this. I wonder if it's ever really crossed your mind as you think about the future and the times that we're going through and the uncertainty that each of us faces. As we think about this virus that's sweeping the nation, and as we think about the fact that none of us really knows that if we get it, how our bodies are going to respond to it. Who knows? Those that are going to take a bad reaction, or those that are going to be little affected by it. And there's this amount of uncertainty about it. But what is certain is that sooner or later, every single one of us passes out of this life into the great eternity. And I wonder if you've ever thought about after this. After this, says God, for judgment. But the wonderful thing about the message that we have, and the wonderful thing about this free offer that we're bringing to you from the Word of God today, is that we don't have to fear the after this. We don't have to look with dread at the great eternity that is coming. We can have peace. And we can have life here, says verse 3, and your soul shall live. As an offer of eternal life through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's on offer to you today. It's a message from God, from the God of heaven. It's found in the Word of God. Now, we don't have time today to go into the reliability and the accuracy of the Word of God. But I commend the Scriptures to you. I commend to you the Bible, because there's no book like it on the face of this planet. There's no other book that comes with such authority and with such life and with such life-giving force. You know, it says of itself that the Word of God is living and powerful. You know, I've experienced that. And millions in the world have experienced the living power of the Word of God to come and to challenge me just where I am. And to come and bring to me the Word that I need just at the right time. And the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Word of Truth, all different names for the Bible, is a book that's living. And it's a book that's relevant. And it's a book that speaks to our times, and to our circumstances, and to our situations. And it's a book that is never outdated. And this offer comes in this amazing book. This book that made predictions about the coming of Jesus Christ hundreds, in some cases thousands of years before he came, and they were fulfilled in absolute detail. This book that speaks about the conditions in the world around us, the moral conditions. And it speaks with absolute accuracy to our own day and to our own times. This message comes from God. It's a message that's found in the Word of God. You say, well, what is the message? The message is this. It calls out to everyone who's thirsty. To everyone who's conscious that there's something missing in their lives. I wonder if that's you this afternoon. Or this evening, or whenever it is that you're watching. It's afternoon when I'm recording this. Is there something missing? You know, these times of lockdown, when we're stuck in our own homes, if you like, and when we haven't got the same kind of social interaction that we would normally have, and we can't see our friends, and we can't go out and socialise with our friends in the way that we would normally do. Times like this that we miss it, don't we? And as the lockdown period increases, as the time goes by, we're ever more conscious of the lack of human interaction. And there's a thirst for human interaction. There's a thirst for friendship. There is a thirst to be loved. But I want to tell you that this thirst is something that goes far deeper than the level of human relations. Because ultimately, each one of us is thirsty for our Creator, whether we realize it or not. Ultimately, each one of us is thirsty for a sense of meaning and a sense of purpose. And in these days when we're stuck in our houses and day runs into day and things just carry on, so there doesn't seem to be any purpose anymore. And there doesn't seem to be any real kind of meaning. I wonder how many I'm speaking to that are just feeling thirsty, that there is something missing. And these days, these times, have just highlighted to us the fact that there is something missing. Well, normally we say we're trying to fill the void with all kinds of things, wouldn't we? We can't do that just now. Usually we maybe fill them with going out and we fill it with sport or we fill it with hobbies or things and recreational things, and so there's so many things that we can fill our lives with. And so many things we can spend our time on. But it masks the fact that there is something missing. And then it talks about he that hath no money, whoever's bankrupt. I guess in these times I'm speaking to people that are knowing the difficulties of what it's like. I know what it's like myself. I can't work. My business is shut down for this time. And from that side, from that side, there is no money coming in. No, we're fortunate in that instance because we're provided for in other ways. But for many, it is difficult. And for some, they are facing literal bankruptcy, but this isn't what we're talking about here. Because that's physical, and don't get me wrong, it's very, very real. But just as real is a moral bankruptcy. And this moral bankruptcy comes from the fact that we have nothing that we can bring to the God of heaven to purchase our own salvation, that we can bring nothing that would gain us acceptance with him. Each one of us have sinned. And maybe I'm speaking to someone today who is aware of their own moral bankruptcy. You know, there was a woman in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, chapter 4. She's known to us as the woman of Samaria. And one day the Lord Jesus was sitting upon the well outside Sychar, the city where she lived. And she came out to get water from the well. And they got into a conversation. The Lord Jesus asked her for a drink, and the conversation just moves on from there, but the Lord Jesus was just trying to probe and just to bring her, he offered her water, you see. He says, whoever drinks of this water, the water out of this well, will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give, water shall be in them a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. And her appetite was whetted. But it came out in the course of this conversation that this woman, she was a woman that was aware of things that were missing. She's tried to fill her life with relationships. She's gone through one relationship after another with different men, and she hadn't found satisfaction. And she was a morally bankrupt woman. Shunned, it would seem, by others in the town. And she knew what it was to be aware of her own wrongdoing. I wonder whether we're aware of that today. I wonder whether we are aware of our moral bankruptcy. You know, there were people in the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, to whom the Lord Jesus was speaking. And they said, he says, look, you say of yourselves, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. And these people, they thought they were self-sufficient, and they thought they had it all together. And he says, you don't realize that you're poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked. You see, their own material prosperity was masking a moral and spiritual bankruptcy. I wonder whether these days of reflection, these days of inactivity, well, I'm conscious that for many, they're not days of inactivity. There are those that are working from home, and there are those key workers and those in the health services and in other places that are still working and are very, very busy. But for them too, and for those of us that are forced to sit at home for a lot of the time, I wonder if we could consider where we stand before God. I wonder if we could consider the fact that we have sinned. The Bible tells us that. If you've listened to any of the previous messages that have been posted here and messages that are posted elsewhere, you'll find that, and you'll find a particular verse in the Bible that will be quoted very, very frequently. And that is this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the reason that we quote it so frequently is that it's so vitally important that we grasp it, that all have sinned, that there's no exceptions, that there's none of us that are excluded from this. And we all fall short of God's standard. We are all morally bankrupt in God's sight, and we can't do anything about it ourselves. See, that's the wonderful thing about this message is, for those that are thirsty, it says, come to the waters. Those who have no money, those that are bankrupt, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Because what we have to offer, what God has to offer, is an offer that is absolutely free. And there for the taking for everyone who puts their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. So there are those that are aware that there's something missing. There's those that are morally bankrupt. There are those who are misguided. Why do you spend money, says the prophet, for that which is not bread? And your labour for that which satisfies not. It doesn't satisfy. And again, we could think about that, couldn't we? Or we could think about all the time and the energy and the effort that we spend into all kinds of things that don't bring us satisfaction, or not lasting satisfaction anyway. So everything that the world would have to offer us, everything that we can, all the pursuits that we can go in for, they don't bring satisfaction, they don't bring lasting satisfaction. I want to suggest to you that even trying to do the best that we can, and even being religious, it doesn't bring satisfaction either. There was a man who came to visit the Lord Jesus one day. We called him the rich young ruler. And he came with a really good question, actually. It was a vital question, a burning question. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How can I get eternal life? And as it transpires, as the conversation goes on, we find out that this man was a really good man. Well, we'd think he was a really good man. He was an upright man, a clean living man, a man that had tried the best that he could to try, had tried to do and to fulfill the scriptures and to fulfill what the law required. He tried to keep it. But you know, for all his doing and for all his trying, he was still aware that there was something missing, because he knew he'd still not got it. And he knew that he still needed eternal life, and he had no certainty, and he had no security, and he had no future ahead of him. So I want to ask you tonight, would you consider yourself to be religious? Would you consider yourself that the philosophy in your life is that you try to be a good neighbour and you try to do the best you can? And that in some way you think that by doing that, you'll gain acceptance with God. I wonder if, like the man that we've spoken about, that you'd realise that it doesn't come that way. Salvation is offered as a free gift. You see, God requires two things in these verses. First is, listen unto me. And there's many voices around, and there's many different voices clamouring with different things, and there's many different offers that we've spoken about, and many different things will pop up, and many different things that are clamouring for our attention. But in these times of reflection, there's time just to listen to the voice of God. Listen. Notice he doesn't just say listen, he says listen diligently, listen carefully to me. And we need to listen. We need to listen to what God has to say in his word, the Bible. But he doesn't just say listen. He says come. Come unto me. Come unto me. Now, the Lord Jesus, one day, he was standing in the middle of the temple, and it was absolutely crowded, it was absolutely packed. It was the last day of one of the great festivals in the year. It was the big day of the feast. It was the day when millions of people, really, were in Jerusalem for the feast. And he stood up in the crowded temple, and he called, and he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come unto me. There was another day when the Lord Jesus was speaking again, and he said this. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus, he promises to those that are thirsty, to those that come to him, he promises satisfaction. To those who are morally bankrupt, to those who are aware that there's something missing, he says, come unto me, and he won't turn you away. You know, this woman, she went away into the city, and she says, come, here's a man that told me all things that ever I did. He knows all about me. But he didn't turn her away. I want to tell you, this afternoon, today, I want to tell you that he knows all about us. He knows everything about us. And he will never turn away anyone who comes to him. Him, her, says the Lord Jesus, that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. If we prepare to come to him, he offers eternal life. To those who are weary and burdened, and some of us are feeling the strain of being locked down, aren't we? And it is wearisome, and it is a burden, but that's not just the only wearisome burden that we face. For many, there are so many wearisome burdens, and sometimes religion itself can be a burden. But to all who are weary and burdened, the Lord Jesus says, I, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You see, the Lord Jesus and nobody else is the one who can offer rest and eternal life. Because he's the one who went to the cross at Calvary and died for us. He died for all our sins, all our shortcomings, all our failures, all our selfishness, all our pride, all our willfulness and waywardness, everything like that. He died for and took the punishment for it upon himself in 3 hours of darkness on the cross. He died. But he not only died, but he rose again from the dead. And the one that we tell you to come to today is not someone whose bones have long since gone to dust in Palestine. But he's the one who's living and glorified and is a wonderful saviour. I wonder if today you'll take advantage of the free offer that he's offering to you to come to him. You know, I did that nearly 40 years ago. And you know, I proved over the years the truth of what the Bible says. Whoever believes in him will never be disappointed. And I want to tell you today about one who truly satisfies. And I want to tell you today about one who gives absolute certainty and security. And I want to tell you today about one who won't turn you away and one who will never let you down. One who has said, who has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. One who doesn't say one thing one day and do something else another day. The Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He can be absolutely relied upon because he's not going to change. And he's never going to back out of the promise that he's made. Ho, says the scripture, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And the one who has no money, come, buy and eat, yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So the verse later, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. There's abundant pardon in Christ. It's available to you today. Will you come? Will you trust him? May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts. Shall we just close with a word of prayer? Our God, we thank you for this time we've spent together. And we thank you again for thy word. And we thank you for the relevance of it. Think, Edward, of how this was written over 2,700 years ago. And yet it still speaks to those who are thirsty, and it still speaks to those who are bankrupt, and it still speaks to those who are labouring and working and expending energy to no purpose and with no satisfaction. Oh God, we thank that the answer is still the same. And we thank that the answer is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for the one who died, and we thank thee for the one who rose again. Now, Father, we do pray that there would be those that are watching this that would just take stock of where they're at before thee and would come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Would just ask him to be their Saviour, would confess their sin, and would just ask him to be Lord and Saviour of their lives. Father, we just ask these things as we give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, once again, thank you for watching, and may the Lord bless each one of you.